Good morning. This is a city council meeting for September 6th. I hope everyone enjoyed their holiday weekend. The mayor's out of town and his absence is excused. So our agenda today is quite short. So we're going to review the agenda for Monday, September 10th. So council, if you can get that agenda, go through it. The first item is liquor license and bingo applications. Items 3 and 4. You have a question?
Yeah, if I could, Vice Mayor, I'd like to ask a question on the bingo applications. That's kind of, how often do we get them, Tim? And what's the value permitting licensing fee, whatever? What's the process they have to go through?
It's a state-driven process, so actually we have a city license that goes through that, so they go through an application process, and that gets sent off to the state. Pretty much any group can apply for one if they want. It goes through a minor process, and they're issued a license based on the amount of dollars they think they're going to generate through that bingo application. It's a pretty simple process. It goes through council just for their input on that, and then it goes to the state organization, and they issue the license. There's no fee with the city of Mesa for that, and I think there's like a $25 fee or something like that through the state.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Curious.
Sure.
We have the adult community there in my district is getting one.
Oh, and you ask about how popular they are. They are real popular with those communities.
Maybe we should place them up here.
We might get, 5 to 10 a year that apply for those.
Okay.
But it's usually the retirement communities.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, we'll continue on with item 5, which are contracts for approval. Any question on item 5? Mr. Whitaker.
Yes. On item 5K, I don't know if Jeff is available. I know the last time we spoke, you weren't sure if we were going to have enough funding for round one. I just wonder if we get an update on that.
Morning. excuse me. Vice Mayor, Councilmember Whitaker. This is the complete funding for the round one. So this is all 10 properties that we had initially included in the first round. To be able to complete the construction for all of those properties.
Okay. And the last time we spoke, you had indicated that based on some of the contracts that you got back that you didn't believe that we would have enough funds. Is that not the case anymore?
The first time we went out to bid with the contractors, we only received one bid back, and it was significantly more than we had available in funding. Since that time, we closed that bid round of bids, and we rebid the project, repackaged it a little differently to give some alternates to try and make it more attractive. We did a little bit more outreach to the construction community as well to try and generate more interest, and we received several more bids. And this time, the bids actually came in, I think, close to $200,000 lower than the last time. So it brought it in line with the funding that we had available.
Okay, Vice awesome. Mayor, Councilman Whitaker, to your question, we should be clear. Even after that, we were still a little short of dollars, but there was some savings that was determined from some other projects in CDBG, and so it was less a small percentage, and so the staff was able to direct those savings from other projects into the facade program. So it was a combination of both. Getting a more competitive pricing, but even still we were short. I don't remember what the amount was. It wasn't significant. And because we had savings in some other CDBG projects, we're able to include it in this contract to cover the full cost.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jeff.
Mr. Freeman.
With that, Jeff, it looks like that the Salt River Indian community also gave some grant funding, mm-hmm. and appreciate their contribution to that. Is there any taxpayer monies being used for this facade removal?
This is completely funded through CDBG funding and the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Union grant funding. There is some match requirement.
But they're federal dollars.
Yeah, so not
they're
local.
Not City of Mesa taxpayer
City of Mesa.
Dollars.
There's no general fund dollars in
general
this.
Fund dollars.
There is some money contributed from each of the applicants, each of the property owners, a match requirement that is funding into the program, and that is actually included in some of that funding as well.
And just so are there any more facades to be removed after the 10?
Plenty.
There's quite a few.
We hope, hopefully this is just the start of
this is phase
a multi-year
one.
Okay.
And this
program.
Is 10, how many? 10?
10.
10, yeah.
Mr. Thompson.
Jeff, Alicia, I know has asked you on my behalf, but I thought when we talked about this, and Chris, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought when we talked about this, the facade improvement a couple of years ago, that the intent was that the mayor wanted to remove the facades that were installed in the 80s, so we would cover the construction cost and the design cost to remove, but the tenant or the owner of the property, if they were interested, would have to pay for the construction or the update or what have you to the new facade. And what I'm being told or what I'm seeing now is it's not actually that it's only a percentage that they have to kick in. And so the CDBG dollars are really going to pay for the construction, the design, you know, the removal, the design, and a great portion of the construction, which I thought the whole impetus behind this was to not only for us to remove the facades because the city installed them, but if the new facades were going to be, or whatever was going to be built after that, was on the owner of the property. And so it seems like a lot of the dollars have been now shifted to pay for almost the full construction with very minimal money coming from the property owner themselves. And so you had to redirect CDBG dollars, which I think could have been better utilized either through the food bank or through Child Crisis or many of the other nonprofits that we serve throughout the city.
So hold on, just Mayor, Councilman Thompson. So this is not new. This facade program went through the initial submittal of projects in the CDBG application process. So we didn't just add it in. I would be clear about that. So the discussion about this process of including CDBG dollars to fund facade was started back
November of 2016.
We've kind of vetted through whether the public policy of using CDBG dollars with both the committee, the citizens committee, and then bring it to council. So, I don't remember specifically what the intent was initially, but certainly since November, the thought has been to help move this project along with including this. It's almost like not an easement. What is it on the?
There's a facade easement.
Facade easement that we'll have to maintain the property. So, but that's where we are today. But that's kind of we've started, I guess, that question and that discussions back in November. So I don't know, Jeff, anything else?
We actually did some, because Alicia had asked us some questions, so we did some research to try and bring our memories back up. In February 2016, we had become forward to council initially with a pilot program request. I think it was around $90,000 request that we had made, and that was a strict general fund request. At that time, council didn't believe that that funding met the priority needs. So we went back and we were directed to come up with a colonnade removal policy. I think that's what you're referring to, Councilmember Thompson. And so we created a policy in what situations would the city step in and take down the colonnade portion in reaction to a proposal from a property owner to do a facade improvement. Following the colonnade removal policy that we developed, we then applied for CDBG funds, went through the Housing Community Advisory Board process, the subcommittee process, and up to full council with the current program as it is constituted today, with the city essentially acting as the applicant in this case to help improve the amount of applicants that actually wanted to join the program.
Yeah, but the original policy that's in place, does that outline who's responsible for what?
The original colonnade removal policy that we had brought forward still is there if a property owner comes forward with a facade improvement request outside of the facade improvement program as we developed it. So we can continue to use that colonnade removal policy is how will the city react in taking down the colonnade or request to remove the colonnade.
But does the policy out dictate who pays for what?
Oh, no, I'm sorry, it does not.
Talk about today. This program
with today's program, the requirement of the property owner is a 15% match on the grant amount that we that was developed is a formula based on the frontage the property each property has on Main Street. I think $400 per linear foot of frontage on Main Street, and that created a base grant amount. Their responsibility is a 15% match of that base grant amount towards the construction project.
Okay. Was that the original intent as well?
Yes, when we first brought the CDBG program forward, that was the original intent, was a 15% match. It was the council's desire to have at least some skin in the game from the property owners to show their commitment.
Right, and that's the part I was after. What was that commitment from, you know, from the original agreement? What was that commitment from the owner?
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Question. Because most of it's city property, right? As far as where the colonnade or
of the 10 properties, Councilor Heredia, of the 10 properties that are in this current program, 7 properties have colonnades, city owned colonnades, and 3 of the properties have shade awnings, but they aren't city owned shade awnings. Oh. They're just ones attached to the building.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jeff. Let's see. Item 6 are a few resolutions. Any questions on those? Mr. Freeman.
Sorry, this is my question day. Maybe the fire department, if one of the assistant chiefs can come up. I don't see. I'd like to a little more about the assistance to fire grant. I appreciate the fire department reaching out and getting regional funding for the virtual command center. And maybe Chief Johnson, you can explain where that's at and how that works.
Councilmember Freeman, was submitted by a regional grant, and the city of Maricopa, or the town of Maricopa, is charged with this, and it includes command training at the VIC, firefighter command training, and safety stuff for the training for firefighters.
Where's that held at?
The VIC?
Yes.
I'm sorry, the VIC right across the street at Centennial.
Okay, good. Good. I just make sure so, you know, all the regional fire departments that wish to participate in the grant funding process. I think this is awesome.
Yes.
It allows safety for firefighters and fire departements. So I appreciate
absolutely.
Reaching out for that.
Thank you.
That's all I had.
Great. Any other questions? Item 7 is subdivision plat. Any questions on those?
Real quick, just a comment on 7A. I think, per my conversations with the economic development staff, I think the lack of inventory that we have of buildings of 150,000, 200,000 square feet, and to have a property that tackles that issue is important. So it directly leverages, you know, more jobs in West Mesa. So I'm looking forward to working with staff and stakeholders on moving this forward. So thank you.
Great, thank you. All righty. Any other questions on the agenda for Monday? Okay, let's go back to our study session agenda. Item 2, to hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Mr. Thompson.
I was in Fort Worth last week for National League of Cities Community and Economic Development Committee meeting, and we got the opportunity to tour Bell Helicopter and some of the other projects that Fort Worth has been chasing and is growing. I grew up there, so it was like a homecoming for me. But to see the change that's taken place over the last, since I left, 30 years ago, it was phenomenal. Areas that I remember as just, wildlands, forest are now Alliance Airport and bustling cities and data centers and all the economic development that we're chasing has already landed in Fort Worth, and they're growing leaps and bounds. So it was interesting to hear from their economic development folks what they're working on and how they're focusing and what they're leveraging or how they're leveraging businesses to come to Fort Worth, and it's pretty amazing. In fact, one of the things that Bell Helicopter is working on is with Uber to develop the next like a taxi with a driverless or a pilotless aircraft.
Heli Uber.
Yeah, it is. And so they're working on that out at Alliance Airport on the other side of Fort Worth. Bell Helicopter's working in partnership with Uber to develop an air taxi that would be pilotless. So it's pretty interesting concept.
Great. Any other comments, Council? Okay, Mr. Brady, schedule any future meetings and general information?
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Just a reminder, again, we'll have our study session and council meeting Monday, September 10th. Councilor Freeman, do you want to mention anything about your mobile office hours today?
Yes, tonight I have Mesa Fire Station 206, a open office hours at the community room there. Starts at 5:30, and we've sent out a lot of information to the neighborhood there, so I expect a good turnout. I know my brother's already texted me that he's going to show up.
Yeah. Also, I have Food Truck Friday at Lacenda's tomorrow evening at Boulder Park. So if you're at Lacenda's, Boulder Park, starting at 5 p.m., come and have some great food at Food Truck Friday. Any other items? All righty. Last item is adjournment. Can I have a motion? Moved by Mr. Glover, seconded by Mr. Thompson. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, good. Meeting is adjourned.